said biblical. They used the word biblical times. You go back to biblical times. That's in the time of Jesus walking the earth. So you guys are old, old souls.
Initially, when I first wanted to make intermission, it wasn't even going to go like this. I felt like I needed to describe what I haven't been able to describe for some time now.
You're trying to understand each other because you go back so far that all these issues from past lives are coming up for you, okay?
Going back, I remember even when I was younger, you would always hear the saying, never go to sleep angry. And I just feel like I've went to bed many times with bitterness, with resentment, with anger, with fear, with anxiety, with sadness, with confusion, with defeat, misconception, misinterpretation, feeling misunderstood. And a lot of it stems from being mad, is what I like to call it, making a decision. I've been unable to make a decision for quite some time, and it just literally made me mad, a mad-ass person. Going back and forth, being stuck, unstuck, finding clarity, seeing a door, opening the door, putting my foot in the door, and then realizing, oh, damn, maybe I'm not ready to go through the door. It's funny because here we are in 2023 and it's like, damn, Jay, you don't have a new season yet? Like, what the fuck? No, because biologically you age, but that doesn't mean that necessarily spiritually you grow. And I feel like I like to consider myself a telenovela, because the way that my life works, it's like, yo, what the fuck, plot twist? Did you see that episode? Did you see that episode of her life? And at times I felt like I didn't really learn the lesson, or I was hitting some reruns, or even just the fact that, like, I've recently finally come full circle with a lot that I'm sharing. So the last episode was called Summit. I felt like I was on this endless stretch of climbing the hardest fucking part of my life. When it came to my career, when it came to love, when it came to raising my daughters, everything was so fucking exhausting. And this intermission, in which I want to have like a double entendre. Trey Songz had a song called Intermission, but we're not talking about sex here. I feel like this is the point where you take a break and you hydrate and you reflect and you actually say, like, okay, damn, everything is connecting and I understand now. I needed to make a decision. One of the things that this lady told me was that I needed to love unconditionally. And it's so hard not to love unconditionally, but to not be afraid of it. Because what if someone sees your ability to be unconditional as a means to misuse you? You become a napkin. It's so hard to determine right from wrong that you show people that you're tolerant of their bullshit when you are unconditional. We just learn how to manipulate people. And I'm just never the person to, you know, when Drake said, I admit it, you know, fuck them stories for the shade that they done. Yeah, I admit it. I've admitted a lot of things, and I will continue to admit when I've been hurt and when I have hurt. I have truly hurt a lot of masculines who have invested in the betterment of myself, whether that was just a conversation, making sure that I ate or that I was getting enough sleep, or just checking in on me. Like, those things never meant anything to me. They meant a lot. And I'm trying this time around to not let the ending of how certain situations go dictate the memory of when things were good and when things were conducive and when people did pour into me and when I did equally reciprocate that by pouring back into them and we grew. It's just, when do you know that the soil is rotting?
Go back and forth. Yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. You can't decide. Okay, get out of your way. That's my advice to you to help you with indecisiveness. When you feel you can decide, just release yourself from the decision and allow. You're not allowing. You're trying to control everything. That's indecisiveness. You want to control. Don't control. Just allow. Put that word in your vocabulary, allow. Allow means I won't try to control it, I'm going to allow it to happen. Okay?
And I feel like at some point in time, the universe, God, source, creator, whatever you call it, realizes my creation will not move. And so chess pieces start getting moved. When you're not ready for your world to change, the universe changes it for you. And I felt like in some degree, this shit was happening to me because it was just like, yo, she's not moving. I'm going to have to move her.
Time to close the chapter of this relationship into friendship. Cut off everything else physical. If you are in a physical relationship, you need to let him be free. End it. Just be a friend on the phone, text, whatever, but no more physical contact. He has to feel the loss of you to see if that one really works. That's the only way you're going to know, is if you can't help her anymore. And go on with that woman and marry her. How does that feel, what I just said?
And as anyone is just like, yo, why does it always have to take to the most irrevocable shit to realize what it is that you want, what it is that you have? Why is it that in loss and desperation and sadness and death and all of the negative things that we find clarity, enlightenment, compassion? It's like it takes the deepest part of our polar opposite to bring out the best in us. So how can I genuinely be upset when the things that have gave me such disheartening life lessons also made me so very powerful? And when you're in your power, you have to make a decision. And even in those decisions, you will again feel MAD, mad, while making them. But making the decision puts you back in your power. It gives you clarity. It gives you closure.
Either you make the closure and be with her, or she makes the closure and let you go on.
And sadly, you know, I don't give up easy. So life takes from me. What the last 2 years taught me was greed, jealousy, envy, the desire to have even if you don't really want. It's so interesting because I have this placement in my chart where it says like I'm always taking care of like some debilitated partner. And to some capacity, I always felt like I was being slowed down by just everything. I remember being young and my mom, she had arthritis, and I would help her sometimes with her cane or, you know, help her put on her clothes. And it's just so amazing because that was when I was 10 and I've never had to do it again for her. So I say that to say that when she was with my stepfather, whatever he was doing spiritually to her affected her physically, where she became ill and I would nurse her. And the last couple years of my life have been where I felt like I had been dealing with people who were handicapped, and not to the capacity of physical deformity, they were emotionally disabled. And then I also came across masculines who were attracted to emotionally disabled women, which I would like to say, like attracts like. There were parts of me that needed to be saved so desperately. And the bitterness and the anger and the resentment was only because I'd never gotten it for some reason. It was almost as though because I was able to function highly on my career, it was like I wasn't hurting when I was. And it was like I wish someone just knew me deep enough to have been like, damn, you're just distracting yourself with work. And let me just put you into perspective of what I mean when I say handicap.
You feel can't walk, and so you do this, and you struggle with that, that's what you do. You're taking care of a person who's handicapped.
Of course, it's in our design to be compassionate over beings that are suffering. To some capacity, I nurture in my own way. I hope that when I'm making these podcasts that I am unlocking a part of your mind that may feel entrapped to societal fundamental doctrines or instructions or routines. And just giving you the opportunity to think differently doesn't mean that I'm, she has it all figured out. I'm poised. But I'm poised because it comes from gratitude, from surviving. There were points and times where I felt like I was worthy of being held, not held to a standard, but held like within someone's arms, like, Joe, just rest here for a minute, regain your strength, and then push on. Where I would literally watch other people handicap and not give me the same generosity. And I couldn't understand, like, what was... because I was strong. And it used to boil my skin just because literally my name means strong. It means noble. And it's like, fuck, why did they name me that, bro? Not saying that I want to be weak, but, like, can I have an opportunity to rest? It was almost as though everyone loved me for my overcoming of adversity, when that was the one thing that I wished that I never had to do. I just want to be in peace.
The other one is weak. The woman you're with now is a weak woman. She's the stronger of the two. And that may be scaring you, but you don't have to nurture her and take care of her. She's so independent, which is what you are. You're very independent, and she's independent. You can't handle that. You like taking care of the other one. It's a need that you feel you need to take care of someone. That's not happiness. Taking care of someone is not happiness. Love is what it's all about.
And who's to say the reason why we don't be the crutch for someone is out of love? So who am I to be angry that someone says, I know that I can be able to save them, or I can be able to help them, or to guide them, or to facilitate them, but I don't know how to help you? Or maybe you did and you just didn't care. Like, I remember this one part, she had said, you know, nice guys finish last, you know, they end up losing. And I just remember hearing, you know, and I guess at that point, I wouldn't mind losing. Bet. Bet.
Divorced him, but when she found out he had me, she didn't like it. So she came back and told him she was in love and she wanted to come back. And he told me she wants to come back. And I fainted right down the floor.
And as she's telling me her life story about how she professed something and someone came running back. Oh, I'm in love with you. I want to be with you. And then that puts you back into the madness. You start to question motives, agendas. You start to hear words all over again. You start to play back how everything just makes sense. It was almost as if, like, the moment that I sat down with this lady and she put her hands on my chest, she pretended to have like a key and she unlocked me. And from there, my life has just been on a endless journey of numbness. I remember after seeing her, I was at Taco Bell and I just felt like I couldn't function. Like, I felt so different, like empty, like there was a void. And I don't think that that void has closed at all. It grew so big that I feel like one of the things that she professed had to have manifested, because I was losing the greatest love of my life. And the only way was to fill up that time with something else.
Another 4 years, you'd probably be ready. I guess so, 8 years. She had 14, you will have 8. And if she doesn't want you like that, she can wait another, go on with her life and see what happens in the next 4 years. He might come looking for you again. Then never let go. You're going to let him go again, a second time. I see it in your eyes. She's gonna go.
But before I left, a whole lot of shit transpired. And I guess this is season 2. The finale.